ALPA President Phil Boyer is calling it quits. Diamond Aircraft wants to take over Thielert. And a passenger's bill of rights is moving again in Congress. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 30th, 2008. If you hadn't guessed it by the tone of his appearance last week on Aero TV, it appears Phil Boyer is making his retirement as president of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association official today. We're not sure exactly when the announcement will be made, but it may happen by the time you hear this AeroCast. Early reports say Boyer expects to remain in his post until late this year, stepping down shortly before or after AOPA Expo in November. ANN has learned the person expected to replace him is Craig L. Fuller, president and CEO of the National Association of Chain Drugstores. Fuller is a well-respected voice in Washington and served as assistant to the president for cabinet affairs for President Ronald Reagan, then later as chief of staff to Vice President George H.W. Bush. He's also an instrument-rated private pilot. Watch for real-time updates at aero-news.net. Phil will reflect back on his 18 years at AOPA in the Aero News special feature starting tomorrow. After talking down the future of Thielert aircraft engines for weeks now, Diamond Aircraft Industries says it will try to put together a new venture to take over the engine maker once it files for insolvency, which is expected this week. According to Reuters, Diamond envisions a partnership with other general aviation manufacturers wishing to use Thielert's Centurion turbodiesels, such as Cessna and Piper. Diamond CEO Christian Dries says his company is willing to invest nearly $79 million in such a partnership. Quote, one could also bring in financial investors, unquote. Dries admitted initial talks with potential investors have not been successful, but he still believes an investor could be found to purchase Thielert outright, then lease its assets back to such a consortium. Representatives of Cessna and Piper's German unit declined comment. Bruno Kebler, the insolvency administrator charged with sorting out the ruins at Thielert, does not appear to be a fan of Diamond's attempt to form what he calls a syndicate. Quote, as the officially appointed insolvency administrator, I have a clearly defined mission to achieve the best possible outcome for creditors, the company, and also its employees. Ultimately, the winner will be whoever tenders the most favorable bid, not the one who makes the most noise, unquote. With FAA reauthorization apparently mired hopelessly in the U.S. Senate until at least year's end, one of the few provisions many lawmakers agreed on has broken out into its own separate bill. We're talking about an airline passenger's bill of rights, and it's contained in House Resolution 6355. The bill was introduced in Congress last week by Congressman James Oberstar, chairman of the House Representatives Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, and Congressman Jerry Costello, chairman of the Aviation Subcommittee. Kate Hanai, founder and president of the Coalition for Airline Passengers' Rights, Health, and Safety, is delighted, quote, despite frustrations inevitably encountered in the process, we are delighted that passengers' rights are clearly now on the agenda of the House's appropriate leadership, unquote. The Air Service Improvement Act of 2008 would require air carriers and large and medium hub airports to file emergency contingency plans with the Secretary of Transportation for approval. The Secretary could establish minimum standards for how carriers provide food, water, restroom facilities, ventilation, and necessary medical treatment for passengers on board an aircraft stuck on the ground for an extended period of time without terminal access. Violations of the policies would carry fines up to $25,000 per day. The DOT has taken the airline's side in the dispute, arguing for voluntary policies without enforcement. The coalition's position is that the airlines, particularly American, have announced internal policies to quiet critics in the past, then failed to honor them. An earlier New York law outlining passenger rights during tarmac strandings was struck down by federal courts, which ruled that only the federal government can regulate interstate airline travel. The FAA has called out its controllers union for its latest hyperbole regarding a medical incident involving a controller on duty. Last Monday, a veteran controller at Reno Tahoe International Airport was taken to an emergency room after reporting chest pains. In a press release on Tuesday, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association said the controller suffered a heart attack after being forced Monday afternoon to work alone in the radar room at the airport during a shift which requires a staff of three. The FAA cried foul on Wednesday. FAA spokesman Ian Greger told the Associated Press the controller suffered a severe bout of heartburn, not a heart attack as reported by NATCA. Quote, "It's unfortunate that the controllers union's leadership didn't bother to check their facts and then used this gentleman's medical misfortune to try to further their political goals," unquote. NATCA Reno facility representative Rich Ferris responded, quote, "What struck this individual, it doesn't matter. We just don't have enough people certified," unquote. The FAA says there have been absolutely no delays or safety issues in or around Reno due to staffing levels. Up next on ANN, immigration agents arrest 32 in a raid on a Boeing supplier. Two business owners are charged with sourcing aircraft parts for Iran. And LAX opens its new center taxiway. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 30th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents executed a federal civil search warrant Friday morning at an aircraft manufacturing plant in Arlington, Washington, and arrested 32 workers on administrative immigration violations. The warrant was executed at Aerospace Manufacturing Technologies Incorporated. AMT is a leading supplier of frame and interior parts for commercial and military aircraft, including Boeing's 737 and 777. The unauthorized workers included 30 from Mexico and 2 from El Salvador. The group includes 16 men and 16 women. The enforcement action came after an ICE audit revealed discrepancies suggesting that a small percentage of the company's employees used counterfeit documents to secure their jobs. ICE says there's no evidence AMT was aware the arrested workers had used false credentials, but the investigation is not over. Two men have been arrested on charges of conspiring to export military aircraft parts to Iran. ICE says Hassan Saeed Keshari and Trayan Bajuvano are charged in a federal criminal complaint with conspiring to violate the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, the United States-Iran Embargo, and the Arms Export Control Act. According to the affidavit filed in support of the criminal complaint, Keshari owns and operates Kesh Air International in Novato, California. Bajuvano owns and operates Orion Aviation Corporation in Plantation, Florida. The affidavit states that since August of 2006, the two have procured U.S.-made military aircraft parts in the United States for buyers in Iran by way of a company in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Keshari allegedly received the orders for specific parts by email from buyers in Iran. Keshari then requested quotes, usually by email, from Bajuvano, and made arrangements with him for the sale and shipment of the parts to the company in Dubai. From there, the parts were sent on to Iran. Among the parts allegedly shipped to buyers in Iran are parts for the CH-53 military helicopter, the F-14 Tomcat fighter jet, and the AH-1 attack helicopter. Keshari is also alleged to have requested quotes for other parts for other military aircraft, including the F-4 Phantom. All these aircraft are known to be used primarily, if not exclusively, by the Iranian military. The FAA and the City of Los Angeles marked the completion of a $333 million renovation of the South Airfield at Los Angeles International Airport with a ceremony last week. The renovation included a new center taxiway that runs between the airfield's two parallel runways. The FAA says the taxiway effectively eliminates the main cause of serious runway incidents between 7 left, 25 right, and 7 right, 25 left. In the past, aircraft landing on the outer runway would exit on high-speed taxiways that led directly to the inner runway. A number of serious runway incursions occurred when arriving aircraft maneuvered too close to or onto the inner runway in front of departing aircraft. The new center taxiway eliminates the direct path arriving planes had to the inner runway. Now, arriving aircraft have to significantly slow down and make sharp left turns onto the center taxiway before turning again onto other taxiways that lead to the gate areas. Controllers began using completed stretches of the taxiway in August last year, and since then, there hasn't been a single incident on the South airfield. But there still will be issues at any airport the size of LAX. Federal officials say that on June 19th, an all-Nippon Airways Boeing 777-300 from Tokyo was assigned by controllers to turn onto a taxiway too short for its fuselage. According to a report by the LA Times, the tail of the aircraft was left sticking 5 feet into a safety zone for one of the northern runways. FAA officials and air traffic controllers said the arriving aircraft was using a new radar designation tag that was unknown to controllers at the time. Unlike the common 777-300 designation of B773, the handling controllers saw its new international designation code, B77W, on their screens instead. The confusion resulted in instructions to the pilot to move to a taxiway that was too small. A Boeing 777-300 is 242 feet long. That's about 33 feet longer than a standard 777. As the plane sat in the taxiway, an American Airlines MD-83 landed on the north runway and rolled past the all-Nippon flight. According to FAA spokesman Ian Greger, there was no chance it and the MD-80 would have collided during normal operations. Always looking for a collaborative atmosphere, NATCA's local union boss has asked the DOT's Inspector General to investigate the incident to avoid a cover-up by the FAA. Still ahead, another airliner crew is accused of falling asleep at the yoke. ILFC will remain a division of embattled AIG. And Southwest makes competitors pay for their downsizing. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 30th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Here we go again, 4 months after a Go Airlines CRJ cockpit crew fell asleep on the job during a short Hawaiian inter-island flight. Two Air India pilots are accused of doing the same thing. The Times of India cites an Associated Press unnamed source in reporting that on June 4th, a flight from Jaipur to Mumbai with about 100 passengers on board overflew its destination on autopilot at cruise altitude. The source said, quote, "The aircraft should have begun its descent about 100 miles from Mumbai, but here it was, still at cruising altitude. We checked for hijack," unquote. ATC was eventually able to reach the cockpit crew, and the plane returned for an uneventful landing at Mumbai. Air India admits the overshoot, but vigorously denies the claim the pilots were sleeping. International Lease Finance Corporation, the world's largest aircraft leasing and remarketing company, will remain a core holding of American International Group, Incorporated, a.k.a. AIG. Following his June 15th election as chief executive officer of AIG, Robert B. Willemstad announced that he would conduct a comprehensive review of AIG's businesses. He says he and ILFC CEO Stephen Udvar-Hazy, quote, concluded that a review of ILFC should be a priority, so there will not be uncertainty about this important business. After reviewing an analysis of ILFC's business and the value of AIG as a corporate parent, we both concluded that ILFC should be part of the AIG portfolio, unquote. As ANN reported, Udvar-Hazy suggested last month his highly profitable company could split from the insurance group, which posted a record $7.8 billion quarterly loss earlier this year due to losses related to insurance of defaulting subprime mortgages. According to the Wall Street Journal, ILFC will now have additional freedoms to conduct its own business affairs and offer compensation and incentives to employees that reflect ILFC's performance and not that of AIG as a whole. Both United and Frontier Airlines recently announced reductions in service to Denver, hoping a more limited supply of seats would help drive up prices for those seats which remain available. There's just one problem with that plan. Southwest Airlines is moving in to take up the slack. Southwest announced last week that effective November 2nd, it will cut 31 less profitable round-trip flights from its schedule, but add 40 new round-trips in growth markets including Denver and Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly notes, quote, "We have a much different story to tell than our competitors. We are well prepared financially. We are the nation's leading low-fare airline. We are still growing, and our people provide outstanding customer service. Best of all, we don't nickel and dime our customers with added fees," unquote. Kelly adds, Southwest's 2008 year-over-year available seat mile capacity growth will be in the 4% range. And finally, Californian Francie Raywald is taking aluminum recycling to a new extreme. The San Jose Mercury News reports Francie is moving a retired Boeing 747 to her 55-acre ranch in Malibu, where it'll be turned into a home. She expects to wind up with a 4,000-square-foot main home, guest houses, caretaker's residence, and a barn, all made of materials from the plane. The architect is David Hertz of Studio of Environmental Architecture, a firm noted for using recycled and natural materials. He's been wanting to do a project using a retired airliner. Quote, "I finally found a client crazy enough and willing enough to do it," unquote. Though the aircraft itself cost only $40,000, transportation will cost much more. By the time the old 747 makes it from the Mojave Desert to Malibu, transportation will have involved approval from 17 government agencies, the closing of 5 freeways, and, because some of the parts are too big to transport through winding canyon roads, they'll arrive instead by heavy lift helicopter at a cost of $10,000 an hour. Though Francie's goal is to use every piece of the plane, the finished product will look nothing like the original jumbo jet. Though the plan sounds eccentric and expensive, family and friends of Raywald say they're not surprised. Francie's daughter, Minka Markham Raywald, remarked, quote, "My mom's definitely a hippie at heart." Apparently, she's one who's done pretty well. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about his top 10 keys to safe flight. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.